time of prayer this morning. Maybe you have not had an opportunity to just kind of get alone with God this week. Maybe your week has been crazy busy, and life has just kind of squeezed God out and marginalized him. We want to give you that opportunity right now just to kind of get where you are and just kind of get alone with God. I want to ask you guys, if you would, to remember Pastor Terry. Some of you have already seen on Facebook and you've been asking and texting. I spoke with him this morning at 7:30. He did have a heart attack on Friday, he's okay. He's in the best place he can be. He's out at Flagler with some amazing doctors. He'll be there for the next couple of days as they run some tests to figure out, you know, how much damage has been done and what's caused it and try to fix that. I spoke with him this morning, and I know he's in a good mood and a good frame of mind because he gave me a list of things to remember for this morning, to make sure that I did them as if I've not done this before for him. And so I knew that he's in an okay place. But we need to lift him up this morning and pray for him, and pray for the doctors and the nurses, to pray for Renee and the family, that God would just minister to them. Man, I love Terry. And we do. We all do. And so would you just join me in a time of prayer, just to kind of get along with God, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to just pray for a little bit, and then I'll close this out. This morning, you're like that song said, you're hurting and broken within. Would you just come to God this morning? Would you come and lean into his arms and bear your tears upon his shoulder? Maybe you're coming this morning and you've got a lot to be thankful for. You have a lot to celebrate. Would you come and rejoice with God this morning? Whatever burden you have, whatever you came in here carrying, God loves you, and he hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. God, this morning we come just to say thank you. Thank you for the privilege to gather. God, thank you for the privilege we have to assemble together as believers and to celebrate you and to sing of your name, to make much of you. God, we thank you for that. But God, we also come with heavy hearts knowing that our pastor and friend is in the hospital. God, would you minister to him? Would you speak to him? Would you show him that you are real, even in the midst of this, that you have a plan? God, I pray that you would be with the doctors and nurses, that God, you would give them clarity of mind and steadiness of hand. I pray, God, that you would, I'm going to pray specifically, God, that you would bring a nurse or a doctor into that room who doesn't know you, because God, I know Terry's going to tell them about you. And Lord, I pray that even in this situation, you would bring someone to know you. And God, we're going to rejoice. God, we ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. And Lord, would you do what only you can do? We love you, God, and we thank you. For it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, if you if this is your first time here with us, welcome to Grace. We're glad you're here. Sorry, I just needed some water. I'm dying this morning. We're glad that you're here. I know that a lot of you are here as family members, as grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads and sisters and aunts and uncles of these fine kids that are up front. And we're here to honor and recognize them. For those of you who didn't notice, the whole band was made up of all seniors this morning, which is awesome. When we started Grace several years ago, the whole point behind Grace was to have a place for our kids, because Terry and I had teenagers, and the Smiths had 29 teenagers, and so we knew between them we had a huge youth group already started. So we started Grace to celebrate the next generation, not to tell them to wait till you get to be our age, but to go ahead and say, hey, you've got a place and a purpose right now. And so we are super excited. This isn't just a one-week kind of deal for them. These guys are up here every week for us. For those of you who this is your first time, this is kind of a normal thing for us. They just happen to be wearing caps and gowns today. And we are glad to honor you. Seniors, you've made it. Okay, you should be a little more excited about that one. So, oh, Grace Kids. Oh, I need to release Grace Kids. Thanks. Yeah, I didn't have to do that in the first service. I'm glad you guys are here. Grace Kids, where are you? Y'all are sitting there going, really? I got to sit through this whole thing? Come on. Did we clap for our kids here at Grace Kids? Because if we don't tell them how awesome they are, the world will. And y'all have the Vances today. Thank you, guys. Love y'all. Praying for you guys. Yay, Carson's going to Grace Kids. Finally, you've made it, Carson. You've arrived. Grace Kids, here I come. Oh, wait, sorry. Yeah. Oh, man, Carson had to have his coffee this morning. That was the big deal. Seniors, you've made it. Like, not just 4 years, but like 12 years of schooling has come to a close. You want to know the good news? You've at least got four more. So that's good news. Or you could have seven or eight or nine more, depending on how long you want to go. Draw it out as long as you can. Okay, so do that as long as you can. Draw it out. Okay, mom and dad will love you for that. They will come and kill me later, but I'm okay with that. But we are glad to honor our seniors this morning. And I know those of you who are not seniors are thinking, great, I can tune this out because this message will be for the teenagers. Because, Ryan, you're the youth pastor, and this is Senior Recognition Sunday. Don't check out on me, okay? Because there's a message in this for you. We're going to continue with the series that Pastor Terry started a couple weeks ago called The Struggle is Real. And I thought, man, what better thing to talk about than help these seniors launch into life and be super excited that life is going to kick them in the teeth and give them some black eyes and push them down and marginalize them. Okay, the seniors are like, sweet, thanks, Pastor Ryan. What you don't know is they've already heard this message once, so they kind of know where this is going. I am going to throw in some new jokes, though, so you guys just make sure you're ready to laugh. Okay, good. All right, good. Listen. Graduates are excited. They're hopeful. They're scared. They're expectant. They're apprehensive about the unknown. Stop and think, those of you who have been in their shoes, how you felt on this day. I mean, I'll never forget walking across the platform, and I got my diploma, and then I walked out afterwards, and I got in the car, and I remembered how wise my parents obviously just became at that moment. Like, for some odd reason, like, I got the piece of paper, my mom and dad got the brains. And I was like, wow, so parents, there is hope for you that when your kid walks across the platform, you will finally get your brains, okay? Or at least they'll figure that out, okay? One chapter in your life is closing, and another chapter is getting ready to begin. And it stands before you unwritten. Let me tell you, the best is yet to come. I realized that I graduated 5 years ago. For those of you who are trying to figure that out, that was 25 years ago. It was a quarter of a century. That was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But we went to my five-year high school reunion. Who does a five-year high school reunion? My class did. They thought, hey, let's get together for 5 years. And I was like, yay, awesome. Jennifer and I had just gotten married, and we got there, and we're in the check-in line, and this girl's in front of us. And, I mean, she is, like, in tears, so excited about the five-year reunion. And I'm just like, yay. And, I mean, she turns around, she looks at me, she goes, I'm so excited, aren't you? And I'm just looking at her going, why? And she goes, those were like the best days of my life. And I'm holding the hand of my newlywed thinking, heck no. Like, this is the best day of my life because I get to go home with this pretty lady, you know? I mean, like, if I was still in high school, I wouldn't be married. I wouldn't have even known my wife at that point. The best days of my life were not in high school. The best days of my life lay ahead of me. And I felt sad for this young lady because she was living in the past. And it's so easy to get stuck there, isn't it, adults? Whether it be the past of saying, woohoo, those were the best days, or woohoo, those were the worst days. You know, whether it be like, yay, they're gone, you know. We can get stuck in those things. Can you remember your high school graduation? Now, for some of you, that might be a while ago. I'm with you, okay? I can't believe it's been 25 years. Like, I look at these kids, and none of you were born when I graduated high school, like ever. You weren't even thought of. And I think when we were doing our first youth ministry, it was kind of funny. When we were at Christ Independent, Julianne Holmes Young, you guys probably know her, she was helping us after she graduated, and we're hanging out in Angels, and we're playing 80s music. And it's playing 80s, and we're all singing as youth workers. We're having a ball, and she's just sitting there. And I'm like, Julianne, why aren't you singing? She goes, I don't know this song. What do you mean you don't know this song? She goes, I just don't know it. And she says, when was it done? And I was like, the 80s? She's like, when in the 80s? I was like, I don't know. So we Google it, you know, 1983. I'm like, 83. She goes, when in 83? What does it matter when in 83? 83. And she goes, well, I was born in 83. See, that's telling how old we get. And, you know, it's sometimes hard to remember that far back, the emotions and the feelings. For many of us, we sat in this day and in this moment with the desire to change the world. I'm going to go out there and I'm ready to charge hell with a squirt gun, you know? I mean, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to be, you know, the best doctor there ever was, or I'm going to be the next president, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And we had these hopes and these dreams, and now we're sitting on the backside of them going, I don't know if I remember those anymore. Like they faded from memory, or we're living in a nightmare at this point because, you know, the bills come in and there's more bills than there are paychecks. And you just think, how is this going to happen? What do we do when the struggle becomes real? Graduates, what do you do when you have all of this hope and all of this passion and the world's going to come alongside you and life is going to push you down? What do you do in those moments? Well, one of the most overused and regularly used verses at a time like this would be Jeremiah 29:11. So I figure, why not start there? You know, can't break tradition, right? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah 29:11. And I want to show you something that's pretty amazing from Scripture. Some of you are already shaking your heads going, yeah, I know this one. It's memorized. It's, you know, it's in one of those pictures that's on my wall, and it's kind of cool. It's got a mountainscape behind it, and it says dreams, and then it's got this on it, and so it's wonderful. But Jeremiah 29:11 says this, for I know, this is God talking, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you a hope and a future. Sorry, plans to give you a hope, plans to give you a future, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Go, seniors, and find that plan. God bless you. We're now done. Shortest sermon ever. So tell Terry when he said, don't kill him on time, I've checked that one off, okay? Because that was his comment to me, Ryan, don't kill me on time this morning, because he knows I can go long. I don't get that, but okay. Listen, God has a plan for you, but the world has a fire hose that it wants to douse out your passions. I never forget, I was so passionate about God, and I had some older people come alongside me, and they just looked at me, and they patted me on the back as lovingly as they could, and they said, bless your little heart. And you know when they say that to you, you're like, oh, great, here comes some great wisdom. And they said, one day you'll lose your passion. And I remember thinking, man, I pray I never lose my passion. But life will do its best to douse the flames of your passion. Life will do its best to dash your hopes upon the rocks of reality, because it's going to happen. I'll never forget when I moved out, when I graduated college, and I moved out of my parents' house for the first time, and like I was on my own, had to pay my own rent, had to pay my own electricity, my own water, my own phone bill. This was before cell phones. Yes, I remember the invention of cell phones, okay? And so before cell phones, we had these things called telephones that were in the house, usually on cables. And we got really long ones so that you could go from room to room and still talk. And then they introduced the wireless ones, which were fantastic, okay? But when Miss Jen and I started dating, she lived in Alabama and I lived in Georgia. And I'll never forget when the first month's phone bill came to me and there were $400 worth of long distance charges. Reality kicked in pretty hard. There was no calling mom and dad to say, hey, could you help me? It was, all right, we're having ramen noodles for a little bit because I'm single and I can handle that. But then I remember, you know, calling Miss Jen thinking, okay, this has got to be quick. We're going to email. It was really wonderful. Juno had come out, and yes, I do remember the invention of the internet as well. I am that old, okay? And so the internet had just come out, and emails had come out, so we started sending emails. Why? Because life had kind of kicked in at that point. You began to see the reality of things, and man, I started to realize that life was hard, and these hopes and plans that, man, one day I would be the next Billy Graham. No lie, that's what I was aspiring to be, because he was awesome and he could pack out a stadium to tell people about Jesus. That's how much I loved God and wanted to tell people about him. I was like, dude, I want to be the next Billy Graham. Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed it or not. I'm not. But listen, the buses will wait for you. I'm just kidding. Sorry. That's my best Billy Graham impersonation, okay? God has a plan for you. And it's a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. A plan to give you a hope and a future. And that message isn't just relevant to you as seniors. It's relevant to all of us. Because I need a reminder of that sometimes. When I got to get up and walk into a middle school math classroom. I know some of you are laughing. Praise Jesus, 5 days. Or if we're really serious about it, it's really only four. Because Thursday and Friday are half days. But I'm going to count them as five because I have to set the alarm for both days, okay? So listen, there are times when I even need to be reminded of this. God has a plan for us. And listen, here's the deal. It's not a plan that he's just hidden out there and playing cosmic hide and go seek. God's not saying, hey, I got a plan for you, now go find it. God's plan is not a thing as much as it is a who. It's not a what, but rather a who. Listen to this. Go on if you read Jeremiah 29. Look at verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. It never once says, search for my plan. Never once says, search for your major. It never once says, plan for the future. It says, search for me with all your heart, and you will find me. God's plan, and the students know this because they've heard me say this for some of them 4 years and some of them for longer, that the plan God has for your life is to make much of God, to glorify him in everything. Paul wrote, and he says this, whether you eat or whether you sleep, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Amen. Simple. Yet we complicate it sometimes, don't we? Man, I gotta do this, and I gotta know this, and I gotta know that, and I gotta know this. And I mean, I remember going into college as a freshman. Man, my dad worked for Eckerd Drugs. Some of you are like, what was that? Okay, it was a drugstore back in the day before CVS and Walgreens, okay? And there was a couple of them here in town, those of you who kind of know that, okay? My dad had worked his way up, and so I went in because I had worked at Eckerd Drugs through high school a little bit, and Chick-fil-A. Just got to throw that in. Those of you who are, you know, you hear me all the time, I'm always going to talk about Chick-fil-A, okay? And I went into college going, man, I'm going to be a chemistry major. Why? Because I want to be a pharmacist. They make bank. I was like, dude, I want to make the money, and they make lots of it. And so I want to be a chemistry major. I took my first chemistry class in college and went, yeah, this is not for me. There was way too much thinking and too much stuff. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. So I quickly became undeclared. Like, I'm not going to declare anything. I'm just going to be in school for a while. To which the administration says, oh, you're undecided? Fantastic. Here, take this class, this class, this class, this class. Find something that you like. They put me in weightlifting. Seriously, that's what I want to major in, please. Do I look like it's taken me, you know, 43 years to get this, okay? And it hadn't been by lifting weights. Unless, of course, it was the fork and spoon. Do those count as weights? They put me in all these classes. They put me in a class for accounting. Listen, my professor was pretty and she was single. I liked accounting. That became my new major. Crammed a 5-year degree into 4. Students, I don't recommend it, okay? Notice I said 5 into 4, not 4 into 5. Okay, I overloaded and did all of that and got my accounting degree to the point where, you ready? I don't even do my own taxes. Why? I can pay an accountant to do that, right? I mean, like, I got a guy. I know a guy who knows a guy, you know? I mean, it's a friend of mine, and I just say, hey, here's all my stuff. And he says, great, fantastic, and does it for free. So why do I have to deal with my accounting degree? Listen, you're just going to get a bunch of paper with a bunch of great things on it, okay? It's awesome, okay? I have a degree in BS. It's a Bachelor of Science. Okay, just in case you're curious, this is a church, okay? But what do you do when, man, you've made this plan and you know God has a purpose for you, but life begins to just come alongside? Because seniors, it's going to happen. It might not happen your freshman year. It might not happen your senior year in college. It might happen shortly thereafter. But it's going to hit you at some point that the dreams and the hopes and the things you have right here and right now today of I'm going to change the world, you're going to realize, dang, I don't have the influence I thought I did. I'm 43. And I could easily look back at my life and say, how did I get here? This was not where I saw myself when I graduated high school. At the age of 11, I walked an aisle in a Baptist church, because, you know, that's what we do. And I walked an aisle, and I told my pastor, I said, God has a call on my life, and I want to be a pastor. And I thought, man, by now, dude, I'd have my own church, and it'd be a mega church somewhere, and I'd be up there rivaling Andy Stanley and Louis Giglio. Like, I mean, that's going to be me, and that's where I wanted to go. And I'm in Palatka, and I could easily go, yeah, something went wrong. I messed up somewhere. And some of you are going, I can't believe he's saying that. Listen, I picked Palatka because God said to come to Palatka, because it's a matter of perspective. I could easily sit back and look at my life and go, I've messed up somewhere, because the dreams and the hopes and the plans that I had to change the world aren't happening the way I thought they would happen. But God says, seek me and find me. Know me. I'm going to reveal myself to you. So what do I do in that moment when life kicks me and the struggle is real? Number one, you got to believe what God says. God says if we search for him with all of our heart, he will be found by us. He's not out hiding somewhere. It's not a cosmic hide-and-go-seek game where God says, listen, you count to 12, and I'm going to go hide, 12 being 12 years, okay, in case you're curious. You know, you count, and then come find me, and if you find me, fantastic, yay for you, you win the prize. God says, I'm right here. I'm beside you every single day. And if you're a believer, he's inside you every single day. Scripture is very clear about this. God created you to be the best you and the only you. Adults, I think we could agree and tell these kids, listen, be yourself. Think about the genie from, you know, Aladdin. Be yourself. Remember? Listen, I spent a lot of my life trying to be somebody else. A guy that I worked with at church, he ran the high school ministry, I ran the middle school ministry, we were both in college, we went to high school together, like, I knew him all through high school, we were friends. Last name was Priest, Scotty Priest. He's a pastor now in Colorado, has an amazing church in Colorado. They just built a brand new facility. He's the senior pastor. I mean, it's blowing and going, it's amazing. And I'm sitting here thinking at 43, I'm in Palatka. Seriously, God, like, where did I go wrong? Is my last name wrong? Like, it's not Priest. You would think with the last name of Priest, he's going to be a great pastor, right? I mean, like, see, I grew up all my life wanting to be Scotty Priest. And I wasted so many years. Because teenagers, graduates, God wants you to be you. Amen. Not to be anybody else. Adults, stop wasting your time and spinning your wheels trying to be somebody other than you. Quit trying to be your neighbor or somebody who you look up to, a man, I wish I could be like them. Be who God created you to be. God wants you to be very specific. He created you uniquely. And the call that God has put on us is the same call he extended to the disciples in Matthew 4:19. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I don't know about you, but that's just weird, right? Like, I'm going to throw out my line, and I'm going to hook people and reel them in. Look at this one, caught him. I mean, like Nick, I saw his picture yesterday. It was his birthday, and he went out fishing, and he has this big bass. I just see a Facebook post of some guy holding up another guy on a hook going, I'm a fisher of men. Like, that's just weird, right? Jesus' call on our life is to be relational. It's to be about people. not to be isolated and insulated, but to be around them and to change their lives. Think of a story of an old man who's walking the beach, and this young kid comes up to him, and he's been watching the old man like come towards him, and the old man like bends over and he picks something up and he tosses it back into the ocean, and he walks a little bit and bends over and picks it up and tosses it back in the ocean. And finally the little boy gets up the courage and he goes, "Hey mister, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm saving starfish." And the kid stops him and he looks around the beach, and there's like millions of them up and down the beach. And he's like, "Sir, do you realize how many starfish there are? It's like, you'll never make a difference." And the old man bent over and he picked up a starfish and he said, "Made a difference to that one." Amen. Picked up the next one, made a difference to that one. Listen, God's plan is to be relational. Stop wasting your time trying to be somebody else. God has a plan for you. Amen. When I was a little kid, we sang this song in church. And I went out to YouTube and found it. Not me singing it, of course, because that would be really awkward and weird. Riley, have you got that song ready to go back there? Riley's like my AV tech guy, which I love. So watch this.
I am a promise. I am a possibility. I am a promise with a capital P. I am a great big bundle of potentiality. And I am learning to hear God's voice, and I am trying to make the right choice. I am a promise to be anything God wants me to be. I can go anywhere that He wants me to go. I can be anything that He wants me to be. I can climb the high mountain, I can cross the wide sea. I am a great big promise, you see. I am a promise, I am a possibility. I am a promise with a capital P. I am a great big bundle of potentiality. Make the right choice. I am a promise to be anything God wants me to be. I am a promise to be anything God wants me to be.
For those of you who couldn't hear, the seniors are actually singing that song, which I think is kind of funny. But like, I grew up with like that on a 45, and the students are like going, "Dude, that's a big CD." No, it was a record player, okay? It was a record. It was black. It was vinyl. And so you would put this needle thing on it, and it'd spin, and it'd make music. It was really cool. We had a foreign exchange student in our home on Friday night. She came and spent the night with Abby, and she gets there, and her name was Kate. And Kate comes in Abby's room, and she's like, "What is that box thing?" And Abby says, "That's a record player." And she goes, "Oh, what?" I mean, and so Abby pulls out her records, and they're listening to records, and she's like, "That is so cool." I'm like, "Holy mackerel, I'm old." Like, I mean, I never quite realized how old I am till I keep hanging out with teenagers, and y'all keep me young, okay? But when life hits you in the feels, when it kicks you in the face, remember you are a promise. You are a possibility. You're a great big bundle of potentiality. Okay, it's a lot of P's. But listen, it's so true. Adults, we're the same way. We need to remember that. That God has a place and a promise for you too, and you are a promise. You are a possibility. You have a great big bundle of potentiality as well. It's not wasted on the youth. My great-grandma died at 106. And I saw her when she was 103. I was 38 years old. And she lived out in California, and so I was out there for a conference, and I said, "Hey, while I'm out here, I'm going to go see great-grandma." And so I go to great-grandma, and I take my computer with me, and we started Skyping back with my wife and my daughters back home in Orlando, which was really cool because my computer was sitting next to her typewriter that she would type out letters for us on because she had Parkinson's disease and you couldn't read her handwriting. But she would still send a crisp dollar bill and a letter to my girls every birthday and wish them a happy birthday. And I just thought that was cool. Like, here's a typewriter. Here's this. And my grandma held onto my arm as if we were married. Like, she was my girlfriend kind of thing. I mean, head on my shoulder. We were talking back and forth and Skyping with the girls. And the grandma was so funny. She realized in the bottom corner she could see herself. And she realized that that's what the girls were seeing. And she goes, ah, and gets up and runs to the bedroom, puts on her makeup and lipstick real quick, makes sure her hair is right, and then comes back to talk to my girls. And I just thought that was the funniest thing. But my grandma never stopped dreaming. She never stopped hoping. She never stopped believing. How do I know this? Well, in her bedroom, because she lived in a little one-bedroom apartment in an assisted living facility, my grandma at 103 would still walk to the grocery store to get her groceries. Still had her full faculties about her. Like, I mean, she's like, hey, tell me about your cousin so-and-so and what's happening with your sister and what's this. And I'm like going, holy mackerel, I pray I get those genes. But in her bedroom, there were two single beds, like, you know, Ricky and Lucy, like, you know, like his and hers kind of deal. And I, you know, my grandpa had been dead for 38 years. He died the year that I was born. And I said, Grandma, is that your guest bed, you know, for like when you have a friend come over to stay over, you know, or you have a visitor come? And she goes, oh, no. She said, that's for my husband. I'm still looking for him. Grandma, you're 103. I don't know many other 103-year-old males, okay? I mean, like, where do you find that at Match.com, you know? I mean, like, you want me to create an eHarmony account for you or what? I mean, she died at 106 years old. But the whole time had never lost hope. The whole time never stopped telling people about Jesus. I pray, God, if you'll give me 106 years, I'll give you the best I can. I'll still tell people about Jesus. That's why I prayed that God would send a nurse or somebody into Terry's room, because I know Terry's going to tell him about Jesus. Terry's going to tell him, yeah, I know, I had a heart attack, but listen, God can fix all this. It hadn't caught him by surprise. So let's go. Let me tell you about Jesus. And I'm ready to meet him. Are you? And I can just see Terry saying that. And I'll be like, oh, Lord Jesus, please help the nurses. But listen, that's my prayer. But what happens when all of a sudden the hopes and the dreams you had shatter around you? Because life hits you. Well, yeah, you got to believe the promise of God. But man, there are days where you just got to lean more into Jesus than you did the day before. Because of the unknowns. See, Jeremiah 29 tells us to seek him and we'll find him. Truth isn't an idea. It's a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not found in a textbook. It's not found in a philosophy class. It's found in the person of Jesus. And it's found in knowing him. God isn't about giving us a plan and then sending us on our way. It's about a relationship. It's about getting to know who Jesus is and him knowing us. Listen to this truth in Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 19:21 says this, okay? I love this. 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that prevails. Listen. I could easily sit up here and tell you where I went wrong, where I messed up, how I ended up where I am because of the mistakes that I've made and the decisions that I did or didn't make, or the decisions that so-and-so made or didn't make, and the things that happened that put me where I am. And I could easily get down and out about it. As a teacher, it's easy to not walk into your room some days. Because you feel like, dude, I don't want to hit my head into the cinder block for 6 more hours. Those of you who aren't teachers know what it's like to be stuck in a cubicle and feel like you're going nowhere in life. Teenagers, I hope you're encouraged. A cubicle is your future. Hopelessness and despair are soon to follow. Congratulations, go into life, God bless. Listen. I could easily say, man, I don't know how I ended up where I am. And God, why would you put me here? Why teaching middle school math of all things? Like, that was not in my plans. When I graduated high school, I wasn't going, woohoo, let's go back to middle school. I mean, that was not my plan. That was not what I wanted to do. When I graduated college, it wasn't in the cards. I wanted to be a pastor. And I could easily look at my life right now and get discouraged and disappointed and throw my hands up in the air and say, I refuse because, God, I'm not where I thought I would be. Adults, how many of you could answer the question and say, yeah, I'm not where I thought I would be? Okay, good. Yeah, students, look around. You see the hands up? Okay, good. That's your future. Why? Because life happens. The struggle gets real, but it's a matter of perspective. Listen, do you think this caught God by surprise? Do you think God all of a sudden went, wow, Ryan, middle school math, never saw that coming? Do you think God went, ooh, Palatka, yeah, Ryan, I could have picked a better place for you? No. God knew because his purposes always prevail. Even in the midst of my mess ups, even in the midst of my mistakes, God's plans prevail. It's a matter of perspective. I could easily sit here and cry that I'm not a full-time youth pastor at a church anywhere anymore, but I am. I'm a full-time youth pastor here at Grace, but I'm also a full-time youth pastor at Jenkins Middle School. And I'm also a full-time youth pastor on the soccer pitch. And I'm also a full-time youth pastor on the volleyball court. And I'm also a full-time youth pastor when I walk into Walmart. Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen, it's a matter of perspective. God has you right where he wants you. You can either fight him for it, or you can embrace that his purposes always prevail. And begin to look around you and see, who did God place me here for? Who does God want me to touch with his love? Who does God want me to communicate to? I now have the privilege of being with middle schoolers and telling them about Jesus, who will never, ever darken the doors of our church. To put my arm around them and hug them. And I never had that when I was a full-time youth pastor. Because why? I was an outsider. I'd go and eat lunch with them and then I'd leave. Now I'm not an outsider. I'm one of them. Sometimes the worst one of them. But I'm one of them. Adults, God has placed you right where he's placed you for a reason. Teenagers, graduates, God has a plan for you and he's going to place you right where he needs to place you. It's not about what am I going to major in. It's not about what am I going to do. It's not about choosing an occupation. It's about choosing a savior and letting him change your life from the inside out. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Because all of you is all I need. And by the way, you guys were still wrong for that. Even the second time around, I knew the song was coming. Still wrong. It's one of my favorite songs, and they've never done it before, and I've told them we got to do this song, and then they picked today to do it, all my seniors. So I'm on the front row crying as I'm worshiping, okay? It's just wrong. Hit me all up in the feels. But listen, God's purposes always prevail. So why not line ourselves up with his purposes? And instead of asking, God, would you bless me in this? Or God, would you bless this thing that I'm doing here? Or bless this thing I'm going to go here and bless. God, where is it you want me to be? Because I'm going to tell you, 8 years ago, when I finally got to the point where I stopped trying to be somebody else, and finally was okay with being Ryan Raymond, dorky, loving math, and okay with it. And I told God, God, look, here's the deal. I don't need a big stage. I don't want a big stage anymore. Would you just put me somewhere and leave me to see the fruits of what you're doing? God said, okay, Palatka. And we went, okay. Not bad. Round two, maybe we'll do this one better than we did the last one. And God said, this is where I want you. And he's placed us here for a time as this. Perspective is amazing. We need to begin to celebrate what is possible, to celebrate the potential, to celebrate the probable, and begin to spark the courage to step out and do those things. Listen, you're never going to walk on water unless you get out of the boat. Just ask Peter. You can stay in the confines of the boat and be safe and sound, or you can do something amazing that nobody's ever done before. Trust me, I've tried. One day I look forward to that. Like, get to heaven, I'm going to be like, Peter, let's go. We're walking on the water. Because that was like the first sermon I ever preached. My parents like heard that sermon like 17 times. Everywhere I preached, that's the sermon I went to. And they're like, do you know anything else in the Bible? No. Like, that's it. But listen, you've got to spark the courage to step out. Graduates, you're stepping out into a brave new world. And a world where we, as adults, need you to be you. We need you to be the best you there is. Adults, it's time to step out into a brave new world and begin to see your job tomorrow morning in a different light. God placed you there for a purpose and with a reason. Find it. Find him in that and point others to him. Dare to dream, seniors. Dream big and dream often. And adults, it's time for some of us to dream again. Amen. What is that next chapter for you? God isn't done with you. He's not done with you till he calls you home. And man, when he calls me home, I want to be coming in skidding sideways. Woo, what a ride. Let's do that one again. I mean, that's how I want to live my life. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never heard the idea that God has a plan for you, much less that God loves you. And I just want to give you an opportunity that if you've never understood that before, and this morning God's kind of tugging on your heart and he's saying, hey, I love you. I want a relationship with you. It's not about you doing something. It's about you being someone. And this morning, if you want to put your faith and trust in Christ, it's super simple. There's not a lot to it. It's simply saying this, confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Saying a prayer something like this, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've done some things that are wrong. God, I realize today that I need you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Take all of me. If you prayed a prayer something like that this morning, for the first time, I want to encourage you to come up and talk with me afterwards, because I'd love to help you knowing what those next steps are. We'd love to help you grow in that relationship and that knowledge and understanding. Maybe you're here this morning and your dream has died. Your heart is shriveling up with the mundane and you just wonder, God, do you really have something for me? Could you really use me? And this morning you say, Pastor Ryan, would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up and put it back down. I just want to pray for you where you are. You're struggling. Life is crazy, and you want to do something big for God, but you just, struggle's real. Would you pray for me? I'm struggling. Awesome. God, you've seen these hands. Lord, you know what is on the hearts of each person. You know what their struggle is, and God, it is real. A lot of times the struggle feels like, God, it's about to crush us and kill us. God, we ask that you would just come into our worlds. And Lord, would you begin to change things? Would you begin to align us and our dreams and our hopes and our plans, God, with you? Would you restore to us, God, the joy of your salvation? And give us a perspective, God, unlike anything else. Lord, we love you. We pray that, God, this morning as we send these seniors out into the world, it's scary, it's big, it's brutal, but it is wonderful, and it is exciting, and it needs them. God, would you help them to fall madly and passionately in love with you? Lord, would you help them to know that you are with them every step of the way? God, we love you and we thank you. We ask all of this in your name and for your glory's sake. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would go ahead and come forward for our offerings, our tithes and offerings this morning. So ushers, go ahead and come on forward. If you're a guest with us, the only thing we want back from you as a guest is this little communication card. If you would just kind of tear that out, fill that out on the front end. I promise we're not going to come by and see you today unless you're having steak. I like mine medium rare, and just let me know and I'll swing by the house. And I'm just kidding. We're going to send you a letter just to say thank you for coming and being here with us this morning. We want to send you a card just to say thanks. But if you've got prayer requests or anything going on, you can write those on the back. If the plate passes you and you haven't had time to get it in there, there's these gray boxes at each of the doors. That's the other way that we take up these communication cards and our offerings. But visitors, we don't ask you to give. If you're a partner here with us, this is your time to give. And we give here at Grace for two reasons. One, because Jesus is Lord. And two, because the gospel is the most important message in all the world. So would you pray with me? God, we ask that you would this morning, Lord, would you just bless these tithes and offerings? Lord, would you take them and use them to advance your kingdom, to advance your gospel and your work, both here in Palatka and around the world. And God, we will be quick to give you the glory and the honor and praise in all things. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of quick announcements while they are taking the offering up. We've got Wednesday night. This is our last Wednesday night of normal Wednesday night services. There is not going to be any meal this week, okay? But we will still meet at 6:30. The children will be meeting downstairs. The youth will be upstairs in the loft. The adults will be doing their Bible study in the chapel. I believe Keith Hill has them this week in the chapel. And so we'll still be doing that. And then we hit our summer schedule. And so in the summer schedule, there are no little children activities in the summer. We let our children's workers kind of take the summer off, but that is when youth ministry kicks up even more. So parents of teenagers, please make sure that you pick up in the back in the foyer. You'll find a blue sheet of paper. That is the summer calendar. Please make sure you take that home with you. There's also a flyer back there. I want to say it's yellow and orange, I believe, are the two other colors out there, but one is about Disciple Now, which is coming up June the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. That is a weekend that we'll be spending in homes. The girls will be out at the Flatos house, spending the night, Friday night and Saturday night. The boys will be out at the Westbury home, again on Friday night and Saturday night. We're doing this together with First Baptist Palatka, and we're coming together to do a Disciple Now weekend. You're like, what is that? For those of you parents of teenagers, it's babysitting. You can have a weekend off. It's $25 is all I'm going to charge you per person. And all their meals are included. Everything's included in it. But it's Bible studies. Intense Bible studies, great relationship building, some fun worship services and activities that we're going to begin to do together with First Baptist. So make sure you see that back there. And there's also a flyer on Serventure, which is our camp experience this year. We're branching out and going to do a service project-oriented camp. This year, we're going down to Orlando, and we're going to be working with some ministries in Orlando to help them down there and just kind of doing that for, I think it's the weekend in August. It's 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. The cost of that's $200. All the deadlines and stuff are on the paper. Please make sure, parents, you pick those up. If you want to sponsor a student, you can come and talk to me, or you can put your sponsorship in the envelopes, and those will get to us. But we would love to have you in that. A lot of teachers and people go, wow, summer's coming for you. Aren't you excited? You know, you can rest. No. I get to rest when I die, okay? That's my plan, because this is the time when we really get kicked off. And so seniors, we still want to encourage you to come and be with everything that we do this summer in the student ministry. You're still welcome. And then come August, we're kicking you out, okay? We're actually promoting you up, which is great, into the Edge ministry. So I'm going to turn it over to my wife real quick. She's got a couple.
Everyone.
awesome. Thanks. All right, that's it for announcements. And I know now you guys are really ready, because the reason why you're here was not for me and not for the music. It was for these kids in their caps and gowns. So we're going to give them a gift. And as our student ministry, the way this is going to work, you should have a little extra little folder thing that talks about our graduates. We tried to get bios on everybody. Some of them we technical difficulties, but we got them and everything is okay. But we wanted you to kind of get to know our seniors. I'm not going to read everything about them, okay? I'm going to tell you their names. They're going to come up. I just want you to connect a name with a face. We're giving them a Bible because we feel it's important for them to put the Word of God into their hearts. And I wrote a personal note to each one of you seniors in your Bibles. And I put this scripture, and I wanted to read this to you, seniors, and also to the church. I want you to hear this. And it's Psalms 119, verses 9 through 16. It says this: "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." The reason why we do a Bible here at Grace is because statistics tell us 85% of graduating seniors graduate from their faith. I pray that you don't graduate from your faith, but that you graduate into your faith. And so we pray that you will hide God's word in your heart, and that you'll take this Bible, which is a cool Bible. It's the ESV study Bible. So it's got amazing study notes next to it, amazing insight into different verses, different passages. Take it and read it, and begin to hide it in your heart. But what we're going to ask is, I'm going to call you up one at a time. I'm going to give you a Bible. We're going to say, hey, we're glad for you. The congregation will clap for you. Line up across the front. Evan Carpenter, please make sure you line up across the front. Don't sit like you did last service, okay? Only Evan. Line up across the front, because we want to celebrate you. And then I'm going to ask them to stay up here at the front today after service, so that you guys can come by and hug their necks, give them a word of encouragement, love on them, tell them how proud of them you are. And so, yeah, give them some money. It's totally fine. They'll be happy to accept checks or cash. If you have your credit card, they'll take that as well, okay? No, just kidding. So here we go. Without further ado, Clay Beck. Woo! Love you, buddy. You're welcome again. And then we go to John Bedgood. He is our youngest graduate, 16. Amazing. Great job, buddy. I'm proud of you. Evan Carpenter. Old man. Logan Cheatham. Love you. I'm proud of you. Anna Davis. Proud of you, baby. Love you. Shayla Eccles. Proud of you, Shayla. Great job. Colby Fleming. Great job, Colby. You're welcome. Then we have Colby Fauché. Congratulations, Colby. Proud of you, buddy. Then we have Cody Godfrey, right? Cody, yep. All the colors of the rainbow. I love it, dude. Proud of you, Cody. Awesome. Logan Harper. You're welcome, buddy. Again. Keslin Hart. She's not here, okay? Austin Keel. The only student who makes me feel small. Yeah. Okay. Jay McKeely. Proud of you. Megan Lingle. Proud of you, babe. Good job. Russell Parrish. Yeah, the only one wearing maroon. Proud of you, man. Trent Rhymes. Congratulations, buddy. Proud of you. Keontae Shack. Good job.
You're welcome.
Aiden Smith. Proud of you, buddy. Good job. Good job. Let's see. Taylor Brooke. Brooke. Taylor, sorry. Sorry, Brooke. Welcome. Cameron Tucker. Good job, Cameron. Dalton Wilkes. I know. All right, this is your class of 2018. Oh, wait, sorry. Carson Wright.
Proud of you, buddy.
So much for being a part of our students' lives. They're here today because of all of y'all, and I know the parents are crying, so we'll make sure that we end this quick, but this is our largest class that we've ever had at Grace, and I know you're like, man, it's only been 3 years. Yeah, 22 of them this year. That's fantastic. Students, don't forget, tonight is baccalaureate, and it'll be at Tabernacle right next to McDonald's, okay? I believe it's, you know, and they're giving away $500, you know, scholarships, and it's at 5 o'clock. Cool? Cool. Awesome. Hey, let's pray real quick, and then I want you guys to come up and greet and love on these students. Lord, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for what an amazing day celebrating the accomplishments of these seniors. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would go before them, go behind them, go all around them. Lord, may they know that you're with them every step of the way. And God, when life gets hard, help them to know you're still with them. Lord, I pray for the parents. I pray for the moms and the dads and the brothers and sisters. God, who have helped these seniors get to where they're going, would you bless them? Lord, I pray for the aunts and uncles and grandparents. And God, just this entire church body who has stood not only behind them, but beside them. God, would you help them to know that they're not going out into this amazingly awesome, scary world alone, but that, God, they have got people who are walking with them. And God, we will be quick to give you the glory and the honor and praise in all things. For it's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. All right, come up and greet some seniors.